Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, coming to your homes live from Portland, Oregon. We are a people of worship, work, and prayer, ready to serve the Lord, ready to serve with the community, and ready to withstand the enemy. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. It is our prayer that during our worship experience, that your love for God will be intensified, your faith be stirred, your hands get to clapping, and your feet get to dancing. After this song of preparation, be prepared to join Pastor Kimberly K. Black and the Greater St. Stephen's Church family as we bless the Lord.
You have our head, 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 you have our Walker Hill, the second, is the third child born to Reverend J. Walker and Ms. Wilma R. Hill, educated in the public schools of Buncombe County, North Carolina, and Richland County School District 1, South Carolina. He is the graduate of the Lower Redlands High School in Hopkins, South Carolina. He furthered his studies at Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina, and Andersonville Theological Institute, Georgia. At the age of 15, Jay Walters was licensed to preach and the gospel at Rock Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina. He was ordained by the Assembly Missionary Baptist Association in 2002. At the age of 19, Reverend Hill began his pastoral ministry. He served at Shade Grove Baptist Church in Batesville, South Carolina, and Shade Grove Baptist Church in Pilsner, South Carolina. He currently serves as pastor of the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Amen. It is our pleasure to welcome him today to bring forth the word of God. We want him to pray, preach, sing, dance, whatever he wants to do today. He's welcome here to have his way. And we are God. So we want to welcome him. We said, Pastor Hill, welcome to our humble church. We bless you. We pray the word will go forth, that we will have listening ears and an open heart to receive the word that you have for us today. Let's receive it by giving him a warm amen and a clap. And before after we pray the worship, the next portion here after praying the worship will be that of none other than James Walton Hill II.
Amen.
Amen. We were thankful for waking up this morning. How many were thankful for being clothed in your right mind? How many were thankful for the activity of your very self? How many know that it could have been you in the hospital? How many know that it could have been you at the cemetery at the morgue? How many are grateful that this is the day that the Lord has made? How many are thankful and grateful and rejoicing in being glad that? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, this is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad.
Thank you. I'm not in the other. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you rejoicing in me? Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
When Jesus heard that, he said, God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I want to talk this morning as the spiritual guide with this thought in mind. Seeing God's glory in the midst of this. Seeing God's glory in the midst of this. And we solicit your prayers. Brothers and sisters, John chapter 11 is a familiar passage of Scripture, but it is also a passage that is blanketed in darkness.
Okay.
Jesus is with his disciples, he's teaching them. Mm-hmm. Comes to him that Lazarus, the one in whom he loves, the one in whom he has this great affinity with, that he is sick. And when Jesus heard it, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It's interesting that the Bible shows us how in the midst of darkness and calamity, that God is able to turn it and to fix it so that he can get the glory.
All right, amen.
What becomes difficult for you and I is how do we deal with the darkness before the deliverance?
All right.
How do we deal with the problem while we're waiting on God to work it out?
Yes.
Many of us in this room today, we have very few problems with the delivering power of God. But we do take issue with how we have to sometimes suffer until we get there.
That's right.
So we have to understand that in this life, we are going to experience our own dark moments. Gloom, darkness, depression, dismalness, despondency is going to come and it is going to invade the lives of each and every one of us. If there's someone in this room today that will tell you that they've not had to deal with any dark days, I can show you a person who's lying.
Right.
If there's someone in here who will tell you that they've never had to deal with adverse circumstances, I'll show you someone who's not being transparent, honest, or truthful. The fact of the matter is that we all have to deal sometimes with dark moments. The maturity of the saints is found in how do we deal with the dark moments as they come. Now let me tell you that Christianity is, brothers and sisters, a progressive relationship.
Yeah.
For we understand that when I consider my relationship with God, I progress, I grow, I mature, and I become more in my relationship with him, the more I engage in my relationship with him. I get bothered with people who say that they're saved and they have this relationship with God, but they're still dealing with the same hang-ups, they're still dealing with the same struggles that they had when they came to know who Jesus is. I'm not saying that we're not going to have any issues. I'm not saying we're not going to have any troubles, but every now and again, you ought to grow out of some stuff. Okay, the Bible puts it this way. When I was a child, I thought of a child, I spoke of a child, I understood of a child. But when I became mature, when I became grown up, I put away childish things. Because God intends for you and me to grow in our relationship with God. This is a moment that Jesus is having with his disciples. Jesus is having this moment with his disciples because Jesus understood that he was going to need to mature them because he knew that for where they were going, they needed a little bit more. And that's the word for somebody in this room. home today, is that God is saying to you that I understand the level of faith that you have today, but for where I'm taking you, it's going to take a little bit more than what you have right now. Jesus is clearly understanding the fact that his charge is to lead the disciples here, and they're going to have to continue ministry. They're going to have to continue the church. As a matter of fact, Jesus knows he's going to give them the Great Commission before he commissions them. He knows he's going to tell them that I'm going to leave you here, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Jesus knows the struggles that they're going to have to deal with the hair. And so he said, if you're going to be able to handle where you're going, you're going to need a little bit more. We got to understand today, children of God, that every now and again, God will send us to a season of suffering so that we can develop something more than what we have before we went in it. And somebody in here needs to understand that instead of me complaining about bad times, instead of me complaining about how things are rough, that I need to simply tell God, thank you for what you are putting me through, because that means that there must be more to me on the other side. Just I need to know it. I'm here by myself. So is there anybody in here who can say that I know that I need a little bit more for where I'm going? I have not seen.
Lazarus is dead.
today. Let me tell you, I'm going to move. I promise you, I'm not going to hold you here too long, but every now and again, child of God, we're going to be able to see God's glory in the midst of what we're going through. We got to learn that sometimes we cannot afford to sugarcoat what it is that we're dealing with. We got to deal with things with an accurate intensity in which they are facing us. Sometimes we try to downplay what we're going through. We try to give it different names. We try to give it different titles.
And now that he's here,
instead of her appreciating and accepting his arrival, she wants to talk about what he didn't do when he wasn't here. And some of us need to understand that's exactly how the enemy holds you captive. That's exactly how the enemy keeps you in a rut. That is because he keeps you focusing on your past and what didn't go the way you wanted it to go. This pandemic has caused me to spend a lot of time by myself.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time at home because I don't like being outside. It's too much stuff outside. I stay indoors. What I've learned is that I like to watch TV, but I was feeling bad because I was watching too much TV. And so I figured that I would make myself feel better by watching some educational shows. don't judge me in that tone, boys. I see how you're looking at me. And so I'm watching National Geographic Explorer. And I'm watching this episode of the African Safari, and they're showing how they capture monkeys. And it's interesting the way in which they captured these monkeys. When they wanted to catch the monkeys, they would set a trap. Now, they didn't want to kill the monkey, didn't want to hurt or injure the monkey into capturing, so they didn't have any kind of, like bear claw or anything of that nature. So what they would do is they would take some bananas. They would smash the bananas and put them in the bottom of a vase. And the monkey would allow his senses to smell the bananas, and obviously he's going to go and try to find the bananas. And when the monkey puts his hand down in the jar, he grabs the bananas and he's trying to pull them out. But he can't pull it out because his hand is stuck at the bottom of the jar. And while this monkey is wrestling with his hand down there in the jar, the captors come with a net. They put the net over the monkey, and that's how they get him. And what the monkey does not understand is that he got captured because of what he refused to let go of. Y'all listen, let me come and see if I can help you. The fact of the matter is that some of us are holding on to past hurts. Some of us are holding on to past pains. Some of us are holding on to past disappointments. Some of us are holding on to past failures.
Let me tell you, if that faith creates
expectation. When you have faith, you're creating an expectation. Matter of fact, you can't really have faith without having expectations. For the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. You got to know that God is able to do whatever it is that you're asking for him to do. So when you got faith in God, it creates within you an expectation. But if we have to tell God that having faith is dangerous, because sometimes when you create an expectation, sometimes the expectation is not met. And when the expectation is not met, that leads you now to disappointment. Because when you have expectations that have been unmet, it leads you to disappointment. So now you're in this place where you want to believe, but now you're not sure whether or not you should believe in what you were believing in before, because why? You've been let down. Let me tell you, child of God, sometimes we experience some pain in our lives. Because God doesn't answer our prayers the way in which we desire him to. Listen, you ain't got to raise your hand. You ain't got to say nothing to nobody. But I know that my grandma would say, just as sure as you are born to die, there have been some moments that you have prayed unto God and God did not answer your prayer the way in which you desire him to. And sometimes, child of God, we can sit in our disappointments. And our disappointments can become the house that we live in. It can become the air that we breathe. It can become the fuel that keeps us going every day. Constantly we're driven by our disappointments. But Jesus speaks the word to her, and she says, Jesus, I believe that if you were here, he wouldn't have died. She says that, I believe that you got so much power that my brother would have been rescued. Jesus says to her, but she says, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. She says, listen, I know that you were not here when I wanted you to be. I know that you did not answer my prayer the way that I thought you were going to. She says, but listen, I also know that because of who you are, if you ask God even now, he'll do it for you. Jesus responds to her and she says, your brother shall rise again. Now this is what really messed me up, because Martha says unto him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. This is in verse number 24. Martha says, I know that he'll rise again in the last day. Now this is one thing that we don't give Martha enough credit for, but we need to actually give her the adequate theological credit that she deserves, because this is what she's saying. She's saying that I know that my brother's going to rise again, and she was speaking about life after death. She was speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ before Jesus had even died on Calvary. Y'all miss it. That's why you got to read your Bible. She said, I know he's going to rise again in the second coming. But that's when Jesus said, listen, you've got it messed up, because you're speaking eschatologically, meaning right after death. He said, but you don't understand that I'm speaking existentially. I'm talking about life before death. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, well, I'm just sitting here worrying about it. So your brother was dead. And this is where it gets tricky, and I'm almost done. Jesus says, do you believe? It's right there in your Bible. I can't make this up. It's right there in your Bible. In verse 1, Jesus says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She says unto him, yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which has come into the world. And when she had said so, she went away and she called Mary, her sister, secretly, and saying, the master has come. And he called for thee. Jesus is showing us in this story, sometimes we've got to believe beyond our past if we're going to see his glory. Sometimes we've got to believe beyond our pain. But then finally, sometimes you got to believe beyond the predicament.
Yeah.
Jesus says to her, your brother's going to live again. Do you believe? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe. All right. So now let's go down to verse number 34. I told you I'm almost done. Verse number 34. The Bible says, Jesus saw them weeping. The Jews also weeping, came with her and groaned in the spirit and was troubled. In verse number 34, it says, where have you laid him? And they said unto the Lord, come and see. They take Jesus to this tomb where he is. And Jesus says, show me where you laid him. And so Jesus, he gets to the grave of Lazarus, and he lifts up his eyes, and Jesus said, listen, take away this stone. He's getting ready to, he's at the cemetery. They've taken him to the place where they laid Lazarus. He's him inside of the tomb. And Jesus' instruction for them are to take away the stone. Take away the stone. Take away the stone. Now Martha says, in response to Jesus saying take away the stone, she says, hold on. Jesus, we didn't get a chance to take care of his family funeral. So we just went ahead and put him on in, and we put the stone over the mouth of the tomb. Now, if we open up this tomb, what's inside of the tomb that we took away, hidden away, that thing is going to come out and invade. And it is going to cause great embarrassment. It's going to be a bad situation because, again, this is a dead body. And this dead body has been buried, and Lazarus has been in this grave for 4 days. And so she said, Jesus, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I don't think you understand what you're asking of me. Child of God, let me tell you that sometimes we find ourselves in the same place where Martha is, and we understand that sometimes we're hesitant just like her because she is hesitant, and she doesn't want to quite cooperate. But let me tell you, child of God, that if God is going to be able to take the hurts that you have, if God is going to be able to take those dark things and those things that you hidden away from everybody, and if God is going to be able to restore and to revive them, this is what you got to learn how to do. You got to learn how to let him in. God help me. You got to learn how to let him in. I know that it's painful for you to go back down that road. I know that it's hurtful for you to open up those wounds and those scars that you have had hidden for so long, but you got to be healed from what you hide. You cannot be delivered from what you deny. The fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter how bad it is. If I'm going to be healed from it, I got to reveal it to him. Jesus says to her, roll away the stone. And Jesus, he begins to pray after he gives him instructions to roll away the stone. And Jesus said unto her, as he speaks to her trepidation, he said, did I not tell you, if you would simply believe, God help me, you would see the glory of God. If you want to see God's glory, but you're not willing to do what it takes to experience God's glory. And sometimes we think that it's so mystical and that it's so magical, when actually it is so simple. All you got to do is believe. God help me. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifts up his eyes and he says unto the Father, he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He says, I know you always hear me. He says, but God, this one is not for me. But this one is for the people that are around me, because I need you to use me so that they can know that you are real, and by you being real, they'll know that I am who I say that I am, because I am nothing more than an extension of you. And so he says, I need you now to give me power. And the Bible says, and he had spoken with a loud voice, and he said unto him, Lazarus, come forth. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that whenever you see God show up in the midst of your calamity, you can guarantee that God has something to prove. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, what we see here in this story, John chapter 11, it is the precursor, and we see the echoing of a story in John chapter 19. For in John chapter 11, our text today, we see the Lazarus died. But in John chapter 19, we know that Jesus, he died. In John chapter 11, we know that Martha cried. And in John chapter 19, Jesus cried. In John chapter 11, Lazarus was born. Lazarus was laid in a tomb. But in John chapter 19, Jesus was laid in the tomb. In John chapter 11, the people rolled the stone away. But in John chapter 19, the angels rolled the stone away. In John chapter 11, Lazarus got up but was still bound. But in John chapter 19, Jesus got up after doing laundry. I need to tell somebody that if you see God show up, he has something to prove. All right, y'all, can I tell you what happened here? Jesus said, I'm getting ready to call Lazarus from the grave. Now, what's significant here is that Jesus, he stayed where he was for 2 days before he traveled out from where they were. And that's significant because when Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. That's significant because the Jewish custom believed that when somebody died, that their spirit would hover over the grave for 3 days. So if they were going to come back to life, that meant that it had happened within the first 72 hours. But if it went past 72 hours, there's no way possible that anybody can come back from death. So Jesus showed up, and he showed up 4 days later. He showed up $1 a day late and $1 short. But he said that I still got the power.
What you're going through, the key has a But God is our hands are lifted and is also a sign of surrender to say, God, we give.
We have the faith that you will do what needs to be done. So, Father, I pray for miracle signs and wonders to invade the lives of these your people who believe in you. People who can believe beyond their past. People who believe beyond their pain. And even those who believe beyond their predicaments. God, we thank you and we bless you for the power of miracles that you're going to work in our lives. And God, we claim that better days are coming to us. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe it, put your hands together and give God a shout of victory. Come on, open up your mouth and give God praise. Come on, let me thank God that you have another one to go on. Come on. Come on, open up your mouth and give God a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. We pray to God, it's not over yet. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over because you got another move. You got another move. You got another move. When the doctor said no, God, you got another move. When the door has been closed, God, you got another move. Hallelujah. Before we move, we want to take an opportunity to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. We don't want to take for granted the fact that we come into this place to gather and worship, that everyone in here is saved and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So there may be one that is in this place is not saved, but who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to leave this place without knowing for sure that your eternity is secure in heaven with God. We talk a whole lot about life and things that go on in life. But this life in which we are living is just temporary. There is an eternity that we will spend. There is an eternity that we'll spend that's either with God or away from God. That he's in heaven or in hell. While we talk a whole lot about this thing called life, we have to understand that eternity is longer than we'll live this life. So if you're here today and you're not saved, make a decision for Jesus Christ. How am I saved? The Bible says, according to the word of God, if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, he shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today and you desire salvation, I want to give you an opportunity to come today. Is there one today that needs to come? Is there one today that needs to come? Is there one that needs to come? Is there one that needs to come? Hallelujah. Encounter with Jesus. Jesus Christ on that Damascus road. Paul was not there when Jesus had the last supper with his disciples. But the Lord used Paul to write to us and give us instruction concerning the Lord's supper. Paul writes to the church in Rams and he opens it up by saying, I'm not there, but I'm going to tell you the way it was told to me. Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and he said, take heed, this is my body, this is broken for you. This Lord remembers of me after the same manner. Also, he took the cup of his son, saying, this cup is the testimony of my blood. Salt, as you do it, you will be remembered. So Paul is writing these instructions, but this is where he tells us. Paul says, let a man examine himself. Let him consider his relationship with God before he comes and eats and drinks. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not concerning the Lord's mind. I grew up in church that bothered me for a while because I thought we were all unworthy. But I say those who are unworthy, he says, those who are unworthily. That lets us know it's not the position in which we come, but it is the practice and how we come. I have an older brother, and he used to hold around the house a whole lot. And one thing that my mom and my dad would not allow us to do, it didn't matter how hard we played, when it was time to come to the table to eat, go wash up. And this was my mama's rule. For God's sake, put on a shirt before you come to my table. Don't come to my table without the shirt off. You know, we little boys, we used to just want to come eat. You know, when you come to the table, you got to come the right way. As I grew in grace, I understood what Paul was saying. He's saying that, listen, all of us unworthy, none of us deserve salvation. Yeah, but when you come to the table and you remember what Jesus did for you, how you come in practice, how you present yourself, determines how worthy you are. So he says, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that even drinks of the word, he don't drink damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. How disrespectful is it for you and me to come to the Lord's table, to eat what he provides, knowing that there is sin between us and God? Have you ever sat and questioned whether or not you should eat somebody's food because you weren't sure how you work? You may have put something in your food. Y'all ain't gonna say about your life. What was the same? You know, especially, you know, if you argue with your spouse, if you get other, they cooking you a meal. I don't know if I need to eat this. Let's switch plates. You understand? But how disrespectful would it be for us to come to the table? To be sinless and we come to his presence in Paul. Paul says, before you come, eat and drink of this body. Examine yourself. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about who's next to you. Don't worry about the pastor, preaching, anybody else. You worry about you. Take self-inventory. So before we come and we eat and we drink the body, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to examine ourselves. Search your heart now. You know your relationship with God. You know whether or not you are right with God. You know whether or not you and God got problems, whether or not you and God on this spot. You know. Now, if you find yourself in a place where you and God might not be in a good spot, it's all right. That don't mean you'll stay today. That just means you ask God to forgive. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So before I come and do damage to my relationship with God by disrespecting him and not honoring the sacrifice of his son, before I eat it, before I drink, I simply look into my heart and say, God, if you find anything that's not like you, remove it in the name of Jesus. So before we partake, we're going to pray, and I'm praying, bless the table. This is time for you to take self-inventory, and you get your spirit right, so that when we enter into this moment together, it will be one that benefits us, and it does not hinder our relationship with God. Can we pray today? God, our Father, we are so very grateful for this moment. Thank you, Father, for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. Without the shedding of his blood, there would be no remission for our sins. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes us white as snow. Lord, thou shalt know nothing but the blood of him reaches to the highest mountain. Flows to the lowest down. It's the blood that gives us strength from day to day. We will never lose this power. God, if we are in sin, forgive us. We cry out like David, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out all of our transgressions. Creating us, God, a clean one. Renewing us, God, a right spirit. Wash us so we could be made whiter than the snow. Allow this moment to draw us closer to you and closer to our brothers and our sisters in the faith. We thank you, God, for this moment. We thank you for the sacrifice of your son and our Savior. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise his holy and righteous name. Before we prepare to close, I do want to check about the worship with you. We need to make sure that there's anything that we are missing or lacking, anything that we need to do before we prepare this message.
Pastor, this is a text message. Pastor, to remember that the Light of Portland tonight at 8 p.m.
You
can call in and she, and that's all that she will.
Okay, all right. Well, y'all got that announcement? Well, y'all got that announcement? Pastor's looking for us at 8 o'clock tonight. Light of Portland. Y'all know what that is? I don't know, but I'm going to find out before I leave, though, right? Amen. Praise God. Let's make sure we're there. We certainly want to thank Pastor Black for, again, entrusting us with such an awesome task. To feed the sheep here at Greater St. Stephen's Church. We love you all so very much and are grateful for being able to worship with you all for the wonderful way in which you all have received us. Thank you all so very much. I do have one other announcement. I'm taking a little privilege. I have one other announcement. This week, beginning Tuesday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week, we will be in revival at New Hope. 7 o'clock Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Pastor Carl Draper from Syracuse, New York is going to be with us. I promise you, this is not a preacher that you want to hear about. You want to make sure you're experiencing for yourself. Amen. So if you find some time this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 7 p.m., we'd love to see you at New Hope for revival. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that's it.
Amen.
I believe that's it. Can you all again thank these wonderful gifts that have helped worship with us and usher us into the presence of the Lord? Amen. Thank you so very much. All right, y'all. That's it. That's all I got for you. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Amen. you with filling with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we bring a special blessing upon Pastor Black. That God, you would be with her, give her, grant her time and mercy, that you will continue to create a hedge around her, keep her safe, God. I pray that everything that she may need, even before the need arises, that she will already be right in the name of Jesus. We pray for fresh anointing, fresh vision, and overflow to come into this house, God, so that these people will be able to benefit and say, is not our hearts burn within us as we talk to God, by the way. We ask now, God, that we leave this place, we never, ever leave your presence. Keep us safe. Come on, hurt on danger, incident, and accident. God, bless the home from where you come. Make them homes of love and peace. Let us find some better than we were when we left them. For those who are worshiping with us personally, bless them wherever they might be, in the name of Jesus. We pray now, God, that your grace, the peace of being of the Holy Spirit, would rest moving about the love of heaven now and forevermore. And the people of God get together. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Go with peace.
Thank you.